This morning's scripture comes to us from James, the book of James, chapter 5, verses 7 through 11. As we continue on with this Advent series of some of the traditional themes of Advent, which include preparation, expectation, and anticipation. Just a little background on James before we begin this morning. James was the half-brother of Jesus. He was converted after the resurrection. He was one of those at Pentecost that experienced the infilling of the Holy Spirit. He was also the leader of the Christian believers in the Jerusalem church. The primary purpose that James writes this letter is to set forth ethical standards for the Christian life. This morning's passage contains a rather tight argument with three discernible components, and I'd like to begin by talking about those briefly. The first component is verses 7 and 8, when James calls for patience, reminding his readers of the Lord's coming. And that's one of the major themes of Advent, is the Lord's second coming, and also the anticipation of Christ Jesus being born anew each Christmas time. The next, we'll look at verse 9, where James affirms that patience needs to do its complete work. And in order to do that, it's necessary for us to have controlled speech and behavior. Thus he warns against complaining about one another. And then finally, in the final section that we're going to look at is in verses 10 and 11, where he returns to the issue of patience, citing biblical examples from the prophets and Job. Crystal, it's hard to stay focused out here when I'm looking at that hat you have on your head. It makes me smile. That's okay. I got to tell you, that's cute. But as we look at these portions of scripture, if you're following along in your Bible, just keep your finger there because we'll be reverting back to it. So let's look at the first part. The first part of this morning's scripture today, James tells his readers to be patient until the coming of the Lord. And so he writes, "So be patient, brethren, as you wait till the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits patiently for the precious harvest from the land. See how he keeps up his patient vigil over it until it receives the early and late rains. So you also must be patient. Establish your hearts, strengthen and confirm them in the final certainty, for the coming of the Lord is very near." You know, James wants us to know that patience is very important for our Christian growth. He gives the example of the farmer waiting for the early and late rains. You know, that was important to the farmers of Palestine. The early rains came in October and early November, and the seeds wouldn't germinate without these rains. The early rains came in April and May, and the grain would not mature unless those rains came. Likewise, as we continue, we can expect that in life that we all also need to do something to mature. And that maturity comes as a result of Christian discipleship, right? Plain and simple. That we work in conjunction with the Holy Spirit to become the people of God that Christ would have us be, to be reborn in Christ's image. And in this passage, James is writing to a church that had been expecting for Christ's return at any moment. Do you think we've lost that expectancy over the centuries? I think we have. They were expecting him to come at any moment. So he wants them to know, not to lose heart, but to keep on keeping on, to keep on in the faith. So he tells them in verse 8 to be patient, establish, strengthen, and confirm them in the final certainty. What is the final certainty that James is talking about? I believe the final certainty is that we win, right? That we win. You see, they were living in a time where they were a minority, and they had the great Roman Empire at their feet or at their throats, and he wanted to encourage them that, folks, no matter how it looks, when it's over, we're the victors, and that's like with us today. So James wants to, he uses the word establish, and the Greek carries that same sense of urgency. To establish themselves in the faith and to stay strong in it. Paul says it a different way. He says to fight the good fight, to obtain the prize. Not a temporary prize, but the eternal prize of the everlasting life. He wants them and us to know that when Jesus returns, that there is a final certainty. Don't give up the faith. You know, there's a Chinese saying about a man who turns back after he puts his hand to the plow. And it could be translated this way. Before half the road is traveled, he turns back. We should not to turn back from our faith. Always keep moving forward and grow stronger in our faith. And James is saying that to be patient has much to do with that. So the second thing I want to talk about is in verse 9. James writes, "Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves might not be judged. Look, the judge is already standing at the door." James affirms that patience has to complete its work, and it's necessary for us to have controlled speech and behavior and not to complain about one another. Here's an example I could use about patience. How many of you have ever said to yourself, "I'm not going to say anything"? I'm not going to say anything, right? I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say anything. Then what happens? You say something. And then you say, "I wish I wouldn't have said something," right? We all do it. We all do it. But on a more serious note, life is going to bring about trials, and no one is served by the cultivation of a spirit of complaining. How many of you have ever been around someone that complains about everything? Yeah, doesn't it drive you nuts? So how do you think it is when we complain to somebody else about something? They're going, "This is driving me nuts." Complaining leads not to peace, but to disorder, and it doesn't do anything to alleviate the real problem in our lives. It just doesn't. You know, James may have been referring back to what he had just recently said in verse 4 too. "You want things, but you do not have them. So you are ready to kill and be jealous of other people. But you still cannot get what you want. So you argue and fight. You do not get what you want because you do not ask God." Notice that James says, "Do not complain," and then he says, "Brethren." He's not putting himself up higher than them. He's saying that we're brethren together. And likewise, just because I'm up here a little bit higher because I'm on a platform, I'm not putting myself above you either. I have the same struggles that you all do. When I'm preaching up here, I'm preaching to myself too. Know that. And James is preaching to himself too. If you want some interesting reading, read the book of James. I mean, he gets right in your face way more than I ever would. But I won't apologize for any of the Bible. And my aim is to preach the truth no matter how hard it would be to hear. And patience is a big part of the Christian witness that we can't ignore. We simply can't. Likewise, he previously wrote in 4:11, he writes, "Brothers and sisters, do not tell evil lies about each other. Do not speak against your fellow believers or judge them. You are judging and speaking against the law they follow. And when you are judging the law, you are no longer a follower of the law. You have become a judge." And then he quickly points out, after telling them to not argue or complain about each other, he says, look, in verse 9, look, the judge is already standing at the very door. Do you see? James is saying the time is short, and he wants them to get things right. Remember, ethical standards. He wants them to have right ethical standards, Christian standards, which is just simply discipleship. He wants them to become disciples of Jesus. The third thing, in this final section, James talks about, returns to the issue of patience, citing biblical examples from the prophets and from Job. Probably many of you know the book of Job, right? At the beginning of the book of Job, there's a conversation between God and the devil. And the devil is saying, look at this guy Job. He's got everything. No wonder he worships you. And God says, you know, my man Job is a true man of God. Even if he didn't have these things, he would still be my man. So, unfortunately, Job had to experience life without those things because God took those things away. And Job, as a result of his sufferings, gained a greater knowledge of God. Job's complaint, through his complaint, he realized more about God and more about himself than he ever would have otherwise. And James wants his people to understand the very same things. Listen to what he says in the very first verses of his epistle. He writes, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work, so that you may be made perfect and complete, lacking nothing." How many of you look forward to experiencing trials and count it pure joy? There's a guy out there that's just glutton for punishment. But yeah, you know, we know that joy produces patience. Not joy, but trials produce patience. But it's hard to look for the joy in that. But unfortunately, we are all going to experience trials, and we're all going to experience sufferings in our life. The point that's being made is that when we look for God in these things, that we will be made stronger in the end, that our faith will grow. The Amplified Version puts it this way: "Be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith will bring out endurance and steadfastness and patience. But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have its full play and do a thorough work, so that you may be the people perfectly and fully developed, with no defects, lacking in nothing." So let endurance, steadfastness, and patience have its full play, so that you will be made perfect, lacking nothing, without defect. Patience. How's your level of patience doing? I heard some giggles out there. Yeah, patience is a tough one. Yeah, somewhere between here and there, depending, right? It's just kind of a, you know, but God wants us to be mature Christians, lacking nothing. And I said James placed a high priority on patience, and this is really important. Nothing can ruin our Christian witness than lack of patience. And the lack of patience reveals our true Christian spiritual condition. How many of you know that Americans don't like to be patient? Yeah.
Hurry up.
Yeah, hurry up. That's right. We're a fast food mentality, aren't we? I want my Big Mac and I want it yesterday. We want faster internet. Want faster high-speed internet. Our smartphones are too slow. They have to be faster. We want everything now. Well, data, there was a data compiled by the American Psychological Association as recently as 2007, and this is even before the recession, and it revealed that one in two Americans reported experiencing irritability and anger. That's one in two. And the 58% of us say that this anger has caused conflict with those close to us. So if we're having conflict issues with those close to us, imagine how we're doing with the rest of the folks that aren't close to us. That could be a problem, couldn't it? Now, I'm not talking about the church. I'm talking about Americans in general. And I've got to tell you that statistics have also shown that there's not much difference in the church than there is the rest of the folks. Is it because we don't take patients as seriously as we should? I think so. How many of you know it's a scary thing to pray for patients? Because God will put situations in your hands that require patience. But I got to tell you that as I studied and researched for this scripture, it made me focus on my patience. And I got to tell you, I got a ways to go. I got a ways to go. And truth be said, I think we're all probably not happy with the level of patience. That there are situations and times when we should have been more patient than we have been. Another statistic, that in 2012, the Washington Post did a poll that demonstrated that more than three-fourths of us were angry at our American system. Are we angry at Obamacare, you think? Yeah, I think maybe some of us might be a little angry at the American system, and that's just one example. And we also seem to be impatient people. In 2006, the Associated Press found that one in four Americans lose their patience waiting in the grocery line. Wow, huh? You know, I learned to get patient in the grocery line when I moved up to Rose City. I was in line one day, and the lady in front of me spent 10 minutes talking to the clerk about her family. Then I looked behind me in line, and there was nobody else in line that was impatient except me. And I went, wow, things are a little bit slower up here. But you know, it's important not to lose our patience. And also that if we spend 5 minutes on hold on our telephone line, that we become really impatient. It's probably a good thing that we don't have too many corded phones there. After 5 minutes, people will be yanking the cords out of the walls, right? There's nothing that could ruin our Christian witness quicker than lack of patience in traffic, in the bank, and I said yes at the grocery line. So, is your level of patience growing? Let me ask that. Is it? Good. But if it isn't, if you don't see any improvements in your lack of patience, do something different. Pray about it. Ask God what you can do to be more patient. You know, pray and read your Bible. Join a Bible study. You know, do a short-term mission to the community or something, you know. Because God wants us to have that perfect work of patience. And what is the perfect work of patience? It's nothing less than the perfect love of God, leading us to the perfect love of our neighbor. To love as Christ loved us. This is really important because the lack of patience does indeed show our true spiritual condition. So this is what I want you to understand, folks. James tells his readers to be patient until the coming of the Lord. Nothing's changed. We're still waiting for the Lord to return. And he says, see how the farmer waits for the land to yield its crop and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. James is telling us to be patient just like the farmer is patiently waits for his harvest. The farmer knows that if he picks the corn too early, that he'll miss out on some of the grain. Likewise, the process of being Christ-like, sanctification, reminds us that our spiritual growth is a process. It's not something that happens immediately. We have to patiently wait and grow and continue on the road to being Christ-like. How many of you know that we're going to fall short sometimes? We are. But don't give up. Just keep on trying. Keep on working with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit helps us develop that fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. Things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are all things that we work out in the course of our lives. And development of those things depends so much on patience. Patience is so important. 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul writes, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come." That means that the old just keeps changing. We keep changing into that new person that we become when we accepted Lord Jesus as our Savior. It's a process. We need to be patient because Christ has shown his loving patience to us. Romans 8:5, "While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And that's our example that we are to show others. Patience. We are to be patient because we are his witnesses, God's witnesses, to the nearness of the coming of his kingdom. Galatians 3:26, Paul writes, "You are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For you were baptized into Christ and have then clothed yourself with Christ." Christ looks good on us, folks. When we don't put on Christ and we do the things that our human nature desires, we just don't look so good anymore. So the idea is to clothe ourselves daily with Christ. Imagine getting up in the morning and saying, "I'm going to put on Christ Jesus before I step out of bed and go out to do my day." You think that would make a difference in your life? Because you would be showing others Christ, not your sinful nature, but show others Jesus Christ. In closing, I just want to say this. When you fall short, don't give up. Just keep right on moving toward that goal, the goal of the heavenly prize. Be determined to have that victory and patience. Won't you ask God today to help you cultivate the attitude of patience? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for James, who had the courage to write the truth that many of us so often need to hear. Truth that gets right down to the nitty-gritty of things, that explains how we need to behave and to change to be truly Christ-like, to give you honor, to give you glory, and to be your hands and feet here on earth. Lord, to that end, we pray that you would help us to be the patient people that you would have us be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.